Praise the Lord.
Ask me not. Oh, gentle Savior. Ask me not. While on others, me by God when I'm in my midnight hour, when things look bleak, when my road has come to an end. God, do not pass me by.
Stretch out your hand to me.
Yes, thank you.
Make yourself known.
Yeah, yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. If you will, turn with me to the book of Acts 16, beginning at verse 16, reading to verses 28. And as we heard in the reading of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, in the spirit of freedom, let us continue in that vein. Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through 28. And as is custom in this branch of light, if you will, please stand to your feet for the reading of God's word if you are able. If you are not able to do so, I certainly understand. But if you will, if you are able, come on and stand to the reading of God's word. And I will be reading from the Good News Bible, Acts 16, 16 through 28. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a young servant woman who had an evil spirit that enabled her to predict the future. She earned a lot of money for her owners by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They announce to you how you can be saved." She did this for many days until Paul became so upset that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I order you to come out of her." The Spirit went out of her that very moment. When her owners realized that their chance of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the authorities in the public square. They brought them before the Roman officials and said, "These men are Jews and are against our law. We are Roman citizens and we cannot accept these customs or practice them." And the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. Then the officials tore the clothes off Paul and Silas and ordered them to be whipped. After a severe beating, they were thrown into jail, and the jailer was ordered to lock them up tight. Upon receiving this order, the jailer threw them into the inner cell and fastened their feet between heavy blocks of wood. Round about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake which shook the prison to its foundations. At once all the doors were opened, and the chains fell off all the prisoners. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors had opened, he thought that the prisoners had escaped. So he pulled out his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted at the top of his voice, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." You may be seated in the presence of God's holy word. I want to talk briefly this moment and this morning from the subject, Won't He Do It? Won't He Do It? Father God, we say thank you. And God, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you the honor. God, as your servant stands in this pulpit, in the shoes of John to proclaim your holy word, God, it is my prayer, Lord, that your word goes forth, not mine. That your word goes forth and falls on fertile ground. God, that that word might take deep root in the hearts and souls of men, women, boys, and girls. And then at the appropriate time, God, sprout up to be the beautiful flower that you so desire. God, I would be remiss to think that I can stand here under my own power. I need you. We need you. Now more than ever, God, speak to your people. Speak to your people, God. And we will be careful to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. It is through your spirit that you move. In Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake which shook the foundations of the prison, and at once all the doors were opened, and the chains fell off all of the prisoners. In Frederick Douglass's book, My Bondage and My Freedom, there's an extract from an oration he gave in Rochester, New York, July 5th, 1852. It was entitled, What to the Slave is the 4th of July. In it, he navigates the question of why he has been called upon to speak at a national independence gathering given the State of the Union at that time and issue at the issue of American slavery in that country that ran rampant. He says, and I quote, I am not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The blessings in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, and prosperity and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not me. The sunlight that brought life and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. The 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice, I must mourn. To drag a man in fetters into the grand illuminated temple of liberty and call upon him to join you in joyous anthems were inhuman mockery and sacrilegious irony. In light of all that we are facing in this country today, there are times when I feel the same way and feel as though we are still experiencing what Frederick Douglass said back in 1852. This joyous holiday that you celebrate is yours. It's not mine. How can I celebrate knowing that the history of this country declared that at the time of independence in 1776, system that has and continues to prove itself to be alive and well in this country. Just as Paul and Silas is, he says, I am looked at as being overzealous, delusional, and off my rocker. Why? Because when you begin proclaiming God's truth, you are often seen as disrupting the status quo. A sense of incarceration of in the spirit and the minds of those within this country that would bring people to say such things as, we're going to take our country back. Yeah. We're going to take our country back to the way it used to be. And we're going to fly our Confederate flag despite the historical nature and the divisiveness that it continues to bring. And this may sound strange, but here's the shift. But as we turn to the text, we see that Paul and Silas are dealing with the same supremacist system that did not want to hear the truth that God was trying to establish within his people. Come on now, the entitled Roman Empire believed that it was superior above everything, including God. To the established churches and found in our text today, we see them here in Philippi. Each day they were there, they were proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. In short, the Gentiles had just as much right to be saved as the Jews, although some Jews didn't believe that to be true. Gentiles were created equally in the eyesight of the Almighty, just as they were. So Paul and Silas are preaching the good news. Good news that brought a new perspective to the lives of those that were not considered to be a part of God's kingdom. And I just love that about God. He is not relegated to a particular human system that can sometimes get so convoluted with the messy stuff that it brings. Let me break it down. There are some groups of folks within this country that feel as though they've got God in their pocket. They walk around God's green earth truly believing that God approves of their particular behavior because they find bits and pieces of scripture to support their preconceived notions. They create hierarchies that often divide and conquer people. I'm glad that God does not function like that. So Paul and Silas are proclaiming the good news in Philippi. They're teaching and preaching what God had instructed them to do. In spite of adverse conditions that surrounded them, they continue to do what God called them to do. And that's a word for somebody here today. In spite of the conditions around you, you must continue to do what God has called you to do. Brings about deliverance, healing, and setting folks free. You got to do what God has called you to do in spite of everything that's going on around you. As a result, Paul and Silas are arrested, thrown into prison, and face the death penalty because of preaching God's good news. The background of the story is that there was a young female slave that made money for her owners through fortune telling. Each and every day, this young female slave disrupted Paul and Silas's preaching by yelling to the listeners in the audience that these were men who were sent by God, and they are trying to tell you how to free yourself and get saved. That's what Paul and Silas were doing. To make a long story short, Paul becomes annoyed with the spirit in this woman and commands it to come out. Notice here how Paul conducts himself when performing this particular exorcism. He addresses the spirit within the woman and not the woman herself. Your personal home or community or church environment, you need to do it by addressing that demonic spirit with the power of Jesus Christ. You can't do this by yourself. Don't attempt to dress them under your own power. I know you drive a nice car. The spirit head on under the power of Jesus Christ, and because he does this, he and Silas are arrested, severely beaten, thrown into prison. And another lesson that we can take from Paul and Silas is that when you start doing what God really wants you to do, there's no guarantee that you will not suffer while doing it. They begin to pray and sing songs. And the Bible says that while they were doing this, Brother Frazier, there was a sudden violent earthquake that shook the foundations of the jail cell. And not just Paul and Silas were free, but everybody was free. And this may sound strange to some, and odd to us, but very real in a sense in saying that, in spite of all that we face, in spite of all that Paul and Silas face, we can still look back over our lives and say to ourselves, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Take into consideration all that he has done in your life, how far he has brought you, the places for
and sang hymns to God all night long. Praying and singing becomes the prescription for practicing Christians during times of turmoil. Their communication with the Creator caused a cosmic connection that released the seismic activity in the earth that ultimately set them free. The communication, Paul and Silas's communication, with the Creator caused such a cosmic connection that it released seismic activity in the earth that ultimately set everyone free. What am I trying to tell you? What am I trying to tell you? Prayer changes things. Oh, yeah. Prayer changes things. Have you ever been in a difficult situation where you begin to wonder, come on, Sister Tiffany, you begin to wonder how you are going to address, how you are going to handle, how you are going to move? The situation was so distressing that there was only one thing to do. Fall to my knees. Give God the glory. Give God the praise. And recognize that there is no God but a great God that blesses me in my midnight hour. Yeah, we prayed on other occasions, but this wasn't like anything else you had ever done. And when your life situation meets times like these, you need some depth in your life. You don't need the superficial prayers. Yeah, amen, hallelujah. I need to go a little bit deeper. Come on now. You need some substance that will ultimately get you through your midnight hour. In that dark hour, you need a solid rock on which to hold on to when the waves are tossing to and fro. If anyone knew about prayer, it was that of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were both Jews. Jews that grew up in the church. Jews that grew up in the temple. Learning and studying the Jewish scriptures. Studying the Jewish traditions. Going to and fro. They knew the prayers of that great hymn book, the Davidic Psalter. They began their day and ended their day saturated in prayer. They understood that prayer changes things. They had an understanding that when I go into the temple and pray, that God is connecting my spirit with His. And when I pray, things happen. See, when my life hangs in the balance of evildoers, I need a song and a prayer that will lift me. I need God's in the psalm, in Psalm 89:1. Oh Lord, I will sing of your constant love. I need to turn to Psalm 101:1. My song is about loyalty and justice, and I sing it to you. And then I jump down to Psalm 108:1. And it says, my heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all of my soul. When I find myself in a tight situation, I remember God's word in my prayers and in my song. If anyone hears me, I want it to be the Lord that hears me. I love the contemporary gospel music that's played now all across the nation. But come on now. There are some times when I need some songs of hymns that roots back to my ancestors in the past. Past midnight, oh gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I'm crying, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Silas did. But not only did they worship, the text says that there was a witness. Their worship, listen now, their worship gave rise to their witness. A witness attests to the divine activity that is happening around them. A witness attests to the divine activity that is happening in their midst. Paul and Silas were suffering, but yet they had a praise in their mouth. And the praise in their mouth was their witness that there is a reality other than a Roman government that is able to move in difficult situations. Y'all missed that. Come on, let me get you again. Huh? And their praise in their mouth was their witness that there was an ultimate reality other than the Roman government that says, I don't give myself to you, but I give myself to God. You can beat me. You can talk about me. You can do what you want to do. You can kick me to the curb. But when I begin to pray and sing, God is real in my heart. And things begin to change. Look, I thank God.
Yes.
I thank God.
Yes.
For the governmental system that we live in.
Yes.
But I don't place my ultimate trust in the government. I don't place my trust in President Obama. I trust him with some things, but I don't trust him with my own. You gotta understand. When I give myself to God, when I begin to witness, I'm not witnessing to the government. I'm not witnessing to Obama. I'm giving witness to others about what God can do. Mosby, can you sing and pray in such a way that gives rise to a positive witness? In other words, when people see your worship from day to day, when people see you, watch you, every calculated moment, will they see God or will they see something else? I'm just asking a question. Can you sing and pray in such a way that gives rise to a positive witness? In other words, can, when people see your worship, when people see your praise from day to day, will they see God or will they see something else? Look at the text. Paul and Silas' witness gives and frees those that are around them. In the other jail cells, we see that other people are freed both physically and spiritually. These prisoners heard something that they had never heard before while in the jail cell. Their mind was set. Come on now. Their mind was set on impending judgment, continued suffering, and remaining in a hopeless situation. Oh, but when Paul and Silas show up, they begin to alter the paradigm. Oh, you can act the way you want to act in jail, but what we're going to do is we're going to worship the God that we see, we serve. When Paul and Silas show up, things change. And what I want to know, Mosby, is when people see you, when you show up, will people see that God is up to something, or will they see something else? I wonder if there are any Paul and Silas's in the place today. That when you show up, people around you that may feel sad, people around you that may feel depressed, people around you that may feel hopeless, in pain, hurt, rejected, dejected, not loved, begin to see something other than a bad situation. I wonder, when I walk in the room, God, help me, when I walk in the room, will people see and feel and be encouraged, renewed, loved, full of hope? Because when I bring together my worship and my witness, things begin to happen in this place.
Yes.
and my witness. Then we see the third point. We see God's wonder will break the chains that keep me bound in my life. I told you earlier that Paul and Silas's communication with the Creator caused such a cosmic connection that it released seismic activity in the earth. It released seismic activity in the earth that ultimately set them free. Oh my goodness. Now, seismic activity pertains to the nature of earthquakes. It is the natural phenomenon that occurs only because of the hand of God. According to biblical sources, earthquakes were fairly common in this particular region. The divine wonder that I am talking about is a wonder of nature that only God can create. That wonder came in the form of an earthquake with my spiritual eye. I can see God rejoicing in heaven over Paul and Silas's worship and witness. So much so that he decided to join in song. He decided